It's that time again for another edition of your Bold Movers and Shakers podcast with your host, Alexis Ray.
Welcome back to another episode of Bold Movers and Shakers. It's Alexis Ray, and I am so excited to have Matt Sassano with me today. I've been the number one fan, and he may not know it, but I've been his number one fan since I heard him on stage a few years ago, and am thrilled to death that he has found his voice again. He's back where he should be. Sorry, Matt.
Man, I'm pumped up too, man. Let me tell you, it was a cool time meeting you. What is it, 3 years ago or so?
Yeah,
man.
Or was it yesterday? I don't know. But you've been missed.
Man, it was such a great time, and I'm just glad to be back. I took a two, three-year hiatus from doing shows, reinvented myself, and now I'm back doing my thing, man. Bigger and better than ever. It's going to be fun, man. I'm excited.
Okay, so guys, by the time you hear this podcast, perhaps the show will be over and Matt will already be on television. Who knows? But I ran across his story on Facebook because he was on a poster with Bubba Sparks. And I was like, what? Hang on. Hold the phone. Stop the press. What the hell? Matt, how did that come about?
That is such a weird and different kind of a story. Like I said, I've come from a rock background. And when you met me, I was in a rock band. But during this two-year hiatus that I took from doing live shows, I said I was reinventing myself and trying to figure out my new style. And what came about was just this eclectic mix of music. It's what I like to call a mixture of pop, EDM, dubstep with the explosive energy of rock and roll. So we built this, and it's a pop duo. My best friend Tyler plays bass with us, and I've known him since I was 11 and he was 7, and so it's been great. And what happened was we moved him from Mississippi to be the bass player. We taught him what he needed to know, and I was trying to get his training wheels off, and we walked into an open mic at Fred's in Sevierville. And just, I guess, blew the doors off me. And we did like a 3-song set. And right after the set, the owner of the pub was like, he just walked up to us and was like, your guys' energy was insane. Can you open for Bubba Sparks on August 3rd? So I was like, dude, I am down. Booty, 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 rocking everywhere. I'm going to do it. And so it was a great time. And we're really excited about it. Like I said, I come from a rock background. So to be able to open for rap artists as well and show my eclectic side is just like a really cool opportunity. Gets me out there with all sorts of different people.
Yeah. And Bubba Sparks is part rap, part hip hop, part he's such a blend too. Yeah. And such a big name, such a big name. It just was such a surprise to, you know, you just reappeared and there, and they're doing this.
I was gone and I came back, man.
So good to have you.
I was like, you know, can't keep me down.
But I know, right?
I remember listening to Bubba Sparks when I was a young kid, you know, and just like going over to friends' house and they'd have that rocking on the computer. So as soon as the guy was like, can you open for Bubba Sparks? That had been our first open mic with this project. So I was like, dude, like, let's just propel onto something big. Like, I didn't expect that. I was just like, if nothing else, it'll get the jitters out of the bass player, my friend Tyler, and give me a little bit more stage, get me back in stage mode, you know? And then that opportunity arose out of nowhere and I'm just like, yeah, let's do it. So,
Matt, I, as an interviewer, typically I know where to steer a story, but with you, there's so much excitement, there's so much good, and there's also a lot of challenges in your life.
It just
adds so much depth and story and relatability and so inspiring. So as much as I want to ask you what are the special effects going to be in the show? I'm so excited about talking about what's coming up, but I really want to give people a taste of what it has been like for you.
Oh man. Well, like I said, the new album is called Transcend. A lot of why I named the album Transcend is because I want people to feel like they can take on the world when they listen to it and overcome their problems and pain. That's been a huge part of my life. Like I said, I was born in upstate New York and originally from a really small town called Canastillo, and was born in a pastor's home. And I struggled from birth with cerebral palsy and another disability called dyscalculia that only 4% of the world has. So it presented challenges for me growing up and just trying to find my way in the world and just contending with a bunch of these disabilities and things like that. And that's kind of been my, aside from my music, kind of what I like to do is kind of encourage people with those similar backgrounds, people that have been having disabilities, people with home issues and things like that.
Guys, if I could say it, that'd be good. Matt is the lead, and he is a dynamic force of vibe, you know, like high energy, just just shocking how much he pours into his music.
Thank you so much.
And you were born with cerebral palsy?
Yes, I was. And to actually even give you a better picture of what I went through as a kid, I actually brought my mom on the podcast so she can tell a little bit about my birth and stuff that I wasn't there for. And then
Great. Come on, mom. Yes. All right,
I'm a true rock star bringing my mom on the podcast.
I love it.
Yeah.
So happy to have you.
It is really awesome. And it's nice to meet you again. I remember seeing you. We were by the green room when Matthew came out and he goes, I found this lady. She's awesome. And I said, well, introduce me. But I was that night. I didn't get really much of a chance. I got a picture of you guys together. I'll have to send it to you.
Yeah, same one.
Well, Maddie was born with cerebral palsy. Yes, he was premature. He was 4 pounds, 3.5 ounces. They told me he would die when he was born. So when I woke up out of the anesthesia, I asked him, "Is he alive?" And they're like, "Yeah, he did survive the birth. He was bigger than they thought. He was only 33 weeks. He was very small." And they put him in the neonatal, and he screamed so much. He was so loud. They put him in a closet and told us they couldn't bear how big his mouth was. Yeah. And I said, "Oh yeah, that's great." And from there, a star was born. And he struggled. He had his one eye had to have surgery when he was 10. And then he also, his foot was really the biggest thing. He couldn't seem to keep tripping over his foot a lot. Luckily he's what they call hyperplegic. So he can walk. He was able to walk and stand up, but he wasn't able to do that till he was 3. And how that came about was he got stuck on a hot furnace. He couldn't walk, stand up by himself, and he rolled onto a hot furnace and jumped up and ran. First time he stood there amazed at himself. And the doctor said, well, he must be really intelligent because most kids would just sit there and burn. Yeah. And he then began to walk, which was really awesome. It took a burn to get him going.
And now I can
move. It's a big motivator, isn't it?
You know, it's like, that's why we moved down here to Tennessee. So it's like warm and I don't need heaters.
Heaters are bad things for him. And he struggled in and out. His dad was very abusive to Matthew. So it was a really tough, he didn't like his disability. He didn't want him to speak about his disability. But as Matthew will tell you, the cerebral palsy is bad. But the worst thing was that he was undiagnosed until age 18 with dyscalculia. And I never had heard of it. Didn't know what was going on. And school said, well, he needed to pull out because they didn't understand why he couldn't catch mathematics. And they said, well, you know, just take him out and let him finish with the GED. Well, he couldn't pass the GED because he couldn't do math.
Yeah.
And, to make a long story short, which was a very long story, like Matthew said, only 4% of the world has dyscalculia. It is a form of dyslexia. It's the backwardsness of dyslexia. And when they diagnosed him, the world unfolded. We understood what was going on with him then.
Oh, you gave me goosebumps.
Yeah, man.
I understand.
We didn't know anything about it until, like I said, I was 18. So everybody just assumed I was kind of that absent-minded kid, which I am an absent-minded kid. But just being able to know like why I've never been able to pass a math test or why like I can't figure out the route home from a friend's house. I'm like, what is going on here? You know, and not being able to drive or not being able to. And, you know, a lot of these disabilities and things like that, like you think about it. And I'm saying like not being able to drive and all that. But like think about a time when you just went like a week or two without your car. And like how difficult it is. Like sometimes that also impacts people's social lives because they can't get out as much, you know. Well, I'm so handsome, but I'm still single because I can't get out.
I understand everything. I was inviting Matt over my house and he would not come. And I was like, what the hell?
Like, I was like, I'm going to have to figure out a way for my mom to drop me off.
I didn't know.
It's been rough. I've been on almost every date with him, and it gets awkward. I try to act like a chauffeur, like I'm trying to tell you. But the cool thing about that was when Matthew finished high school, college, he couldn't finish high school. He couldn't finish the GED, so they put him in college. This is during the Hillary Clinton time when No Child Was Left Behind.
What?
And I actually called her and said, I found the one child that is left behind. They sent him to Alfred State College, and Matthew was one of only six young people that has actually graduated high school and college. Yeah. He finished there and got his associates. And there was a teacher there named Mrs. Carol Smith that came to me when it came to Matthew's math. Because remember, he can't pass math, so how's he going to pass college? She was the dean of the mathematics department, came to me and said, listen, I need to use your son. And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm sure you will. Use him for whatever, but please pass him in math. And she goes, no, I have a thesis. And I wrote it when I was graduating college for one of my theses about dyscalculia. And she says, he's the first dyscalculia child I've ever had in school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what? And so she goes, yeah, I want to do a report on him. And I think he can pass doing statistics. I said, statistics? I said, he can't even do up to fifth grade math. What are you saying? She goes, no, I'm telling you, I want him to prove it out. And he passed with a B in statistics, and that's how he graduated. he can do statistics.
So,
and he says, this is so easy. I'm like, what are you saying? So during that time, that's when he had a friend, and that's how Matthew got on the NASCAR 2012 game, because this young man had Asperger's, and Matthew befriended him, and he told Matt, hey, if I can ever do anything for you, Matt, because you've been so good to me, and you've encouraged me, and you've made me find my voice, I'll do something. And so he did. He got a hold of Europe, and I got a call from London, and they asked me, Utechnics, what's it called?
Yeah, it's a video game company called Utechnics. And like she said, one of the friends that I had made, he had some disabilities, and we had just started in this rock band that I was in previous to this project. And he's like, dude, yeah, if there's anything I can do for you, let me know. And one day I just brought him in a CD, and he's like, all right, I'm going to pitch this to this video game developer or whatever. And, you know, it's this kid that you just really don't expect to have any connections like that. He's a shy kid. He's a really nice kid, but not exactly a stud with the ladies, not somebody you'd see with that kind of, you know, influence. And so, I don't know, he comes to class one of these times and he's like, Matt, like I pitched the song, they love it, they want to put it on the game. And I just was like, oh my God, like I can't even believe this happened, you know. It's so weird to have those connections.
It was the first song he actually had written, called Bridges. They had another one they wanted to do. And then Alfred State loved it so much, they made it a main feature and did a video of it. And they took students from their DMA group for, I don't know, about a whole summer, finished up the video and made him they did a big tribute to Bridges there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, man. So
that's how we began.
Yeah, and that game ended up on the soundtrack along with some great people, you know, Stained, Uncle Cracker, Simple Plan, all the people that were on the 2012 game. So that was kind of my first exposure to music. And now down the line, I've just been doing what I'm doing now, but it's been quite the journey. And like you said, like you can see, there's been many layers to the story and the journey itself. So.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, I would love for the listeners to start, just get a taste of your music. Out of the three, I think that I would like to start them with Devil Won't Change His Ways.
And that
in part is because there's a really good story behind that.
Mm-hmm.
So can you just give us a slight intro and then we'll cut right to the song?
All right, man. This is one of the first songs that we did on the album. It's called Transcend, and it's called The Devil Won't Change His Ways. And you'll know the story after the song is played, right?
Absolutely. Sure will. We'll be right back, guys.
a stage, just another sleight of hand to keep the pawns in play, just another sneak attack to fix the final score, just another subtle spark meant to start the firestorm. There's nothing more I need to say. A devil won't change his ways. Sell you any lie with a straight face, but a devil won't change his ways. Once the dice are rolled, it's a rigged game. A devil always wins cause the rules change. And even if it all goes up in flames, a devil won't change his ways. Changes.
Just another twisted vibe to cover up the crime. Just another back that's turned and full of rusty knives. Just another promise made when no one sees the fingers crossed. Just another friendly bet till the devil comes to collect the cost.
There's nothing more I need to say. A devil won't change his ways. Saw you when he lied with a straight face, but a devil won't change his ways. Once the dice are rolled, it's a rigged game. A devil always wins cause the rules change. And even if it all goes up in flames, a devil won't change his ways. Changes.
And we're back.
Hey, all right,
that is,
man.
That is I'm stammering with you tonight. I should not have had coffee, or maybe I should have had more. I'm not sure which one it is. So excited. So give me the story. I know that there's one behind this.
During my 2 year hiatus and kind of all that from shows, reinventing myself, I actually was I took a class in music licensing and getting my music and TV and film, right? And so I kind of felt like the black sheep of that class, because while a lot of the musicians were great musicians and cool people, I kind of felt like the black sheep because I didn't fit the advertising kind of thing. But it got me to be paying more close attention to TV themes and things like that. And with Devil Won't Change His Ways, I was watching Breaking Bad and stuff like that, and I was thinking, like, there needs to be a song about a villain, like the ultimate villain. And then I started thinking about the villains in my life, you know, like my dad being abusive through much of my life. And I had a friend who, you know, moved in with me. We were trying to help him out, and he ended up cheating with a girlfriend of mine. So I was thinking about all the different devils in my life that never changed their ways. And I was like, I bet you a lot of people can kind of relate to that storyline of just having that person in their life that, as much as they say they're going to change, as much as they, you know, try to, they just are into that whole deception game. And that was really the main concept.
It's a very powerful song that a lot of people can relate to. We've all had villains in our lives and they teach us things and all that rah-rah crap. I get it. But in the end, it really sucks to be double-crossed or have your back stabbed by a friend.
Yeah, man.
You know, and you know what I love about this song, Matt, is that it's spot on. Is it yeah. Just to hang out and hope somebody will change their ways. How many women, how many girls have said, oh, he'll change? No, he won't.
And that's the funny thing, man, because those are the ones that they chase the hardest, is the ones that they think will change over time, but they just never do, man. Lesson to the ladies out there listening. You got to go for a good guy, man.
Exactly. Yeah. What presents is what is. Don't think it'll ever change. And
right.
You know, that's as silly as hoping that somebody will change their preference for a blonde or to a redhead or whatever preference they have. Okay. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? You can't change that.
Yeah, man. And it's just, I don't know. But in the end, I think I'll win them over. You know, any girl that comes into my life will be good.
Oh, you're such an angel.
I've learned a lot of lessons from those devils, is what I'm trying to say.
No doubt. And you know, and getting king hit, as we called it in Australia, or blindsided, it's just like you don't even know that that's coming. Sometimes we do, and we have a hunch about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and other times not so much. You know, you just not see it coming. But the lyrics, I'm literally looking at the lyrics right now. Just another twisted bribe to cover up the crime. Just another back that's turned and full of rusty knives. Just another promise made where no one sees fingers crossed. Just another friendly bet till the devil comes to collect the cost.
Yeah. How many times, like no one sees the fingers crossed. How many times have people been in situations and the guy or girl or whatever will all change and you don't suspect that finger crossing, man, you know? And like I said, this song came out of just a buffet of like different inspirations for me, whether it was my dad being abusive as a preacher, you know.
Oh, and, God, that's whoa. You know,
yeah. And so we'd have to, you know, get used to the fact of like going to church and putting the smile on and everything like that. But behind the scenes, you know, you get home and the picture is not exactly what it seems, you know, in front of the congregations and things like that. And like I said, the friend that cheated with my girlfriend or whatever, but I can do better, so we're good. But yeah, that was really the main concept behind it, and I'm glad you enjoyed the song, man.
This is such a powerful song, and it's so true, and I can just think of so many ways that this could become a theme song or a wake up to yourself song, you know, for, you know, pick a tribe of you know, pick an issue, pick how many people think that the person around them is going to be different, and they just don't. They won't.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. Not only that, but I'll tell you something. If you stand around hoping somebody's going to change, I call it pulling a burrow up the hill. It's going to make you tired and it pisses them off. So don't do it. You know, it's just like, you know, that's somebody with their heels dug in. I am who I am. You go stand over me and tell me I should be different. Nobody wants to hear that. Not even, you know, whether you're a good guy or a bad guy. Nobody wants to hear that.
You kind of fall in love with the person that you wish they were rather than the person that they are there, you know.
Yes.
And that can pose real problems. And like I said, like with my dad and stuff, like, you know, love my mom. She's a great lady, but she stayed in a little bit too long we figured it out the hard way. It's like, you know, but a good song came out of it. And, you know, hopefully people can learn from it, you know, and I can be able to tell that story. So we can avoid more of that going on.
Right. And I wanted to parlay into that. I know you have a gig coming up where you're going to be working with or performing with or for or kids. There's some juvie kids in juvie. Sorry.
Yeah, man. I think it's in South Dakota. As far as I know, I'm not the one that does a lot of the booking. It's Steve, my stepdad as well. He manages the project and things, but it's an event called All Messed Up. And it's for kids that have been in and out of the system, in and out of jail situations and things like that. And I'm just really excited, man. It's an eclectic mix of music. There's rock and roll. There's pop. There's all sorts of things. And it goes in the – it's like a Christian type of event. And that's a big part of my story too, is the psych ward, like working with people – in psych ward situations and stuff, because I've also worked in the psych ward as well. And helped.
I've been in the psych ward.
And was in the psych ward when I was 17. So yeah, me and you both, man, we definitely traveled similar roads in a lot of aspects. But yeah, I was admitted when I was 17 years old, just contending with abuse and neglect and all that kind of stuff. And I was in there for about a week. And the thing that really was bad was, like, I was in the church world and it felt like nobody had come to visit me. I knew all these church connections, but night after night, it would just be like my mom to come to visit me. And, you know, maybe my stepdad at the time before he was stepdad. Yeah, it was really a tough time, but it was cool to see that come around later in life. And for me to step into a situation where I was actually the mental health aide and being able to tell kids, like, you know, it gets better. It really does get better. And I've had a couple situations where I've talked to people, even after they have been released from the psych ward, just keeping up, just making sure everything's okay and stuff like that. And I still talk to the people that I was in the psych ward with to this day. Cause I feel like when you go through a dark time like that, the people that are with you, you remember that. That's, you know,
I sure do.
So that's a huge part of what I love doing. And I'm really excited about the All Messed Up, man. It's going to be good.
So, I noticed, and I'm so excited that you're doing that. I haven't seen the lyrics to every single song, but I listened to the album relentlessly for, you know, a long drive recently. And I was like, this is so good. Are there air quote unquote Christian songs on Transcend, or is this something that you're going to bring to this event and it's going to be like, wow? Who
knew? Well, you know, what I do is, like I said, I count myself as a Christian. In a band, I guess you could say, as an artist. But not all my songs are Christian related. We play for Bubba Sparks. We play for, you know, a whole eclectic list of people. So it's not really, when the Christianity part of it comes out, it's not like me writing a song trying to be like, okay, I got to have five hallelujahs in this, or, you know, it's just me being me. So whatever Christianity comes out in the album, it's because I'm just being my authentic self. But like, there's songs about breakups. There's songs about zombies, you know, being bit in a bad relationship. There's songs about, you know, feeling like a ghost and overcoming. And so really the Christian aspect is a huge part of it for me, but it's not like a marketing ploy or anything like that. It's like, all right, I am a Christian, but I'm writing to a whole diverse group of people.
Totally got it. Okay. Excuse me. I just want to leave you with an acronym for HOPE. Hope. Yeah. Hang on, pain ends.
Oh, wow, dude. That's great. I've never even heard that one before, actually.
I just read it the other day. Share it, spread it, whatever, use it. Hope. Hang on, pain ends. Use that when you go talk to the kids.
Wow, dude, I love that, man. So in your life, like, what has been one of the big things that you've had to kind of, like, I know there's a whole list, but, like, if you could give one story from your life or whatever, what would you say kind of motivated you to become the person you are today?
Pain.
That's it, man.
That's all it was. I had a, you know, really, I had a lot of motivation to all, I didn't know what to be, but I knew what not to be. And so I made a vow, and maybe I swung the pendulum a little too far, but I made a vow that I'm going to be the opposite of everything I had been shown. And the way I had been treated. So the example that my mom gave me was actually one that I just used as a polar opposite.
Wow.
There was one holiday, one Mother's Day, and just as a cathartic process, writing makes it real, gets it out of your head, you can see where you're at. And I was always one to make cards, handmade cards. And this particular Mother's Day, I never mailed this one, just so don't worry, but it was like this. On the front, it said, "On this Mother's Day, I just want you to know how grateful I am for all the things that you taught me, Mom." And you open the card and it's blank.
Oh, wow, dude. Oh, my gosh, man. That's razor sharp wit right there. I mean,
I had to do it. It just for my own process. I never sent it. I have since come to peace and terms in every single way that I can think I have, that I am conscious of, because those people that have been a challenge to us are actually, I believe in some kind of like pre-birth conversation or agreement that we had, like, I'll meet you down there. Yep. And I'm going to fuck with you. Yep. And I'm going to learn from it. Okay. And that's what we do. And literally stood in my living room mat and like applauded, like, oh my God, you did, like, oh my God, that was like Oscar level material. Thank you.
It was. And now I'm going to steal it. And like, now I've got a whole bunch of Christmas card ideas for people that I've come in contact with, you know, or known throughout my life. And so, well, I want to credit you with that. And that's going to be some great gifts.
I actually have a Facebook page called Postcards for the Pissed Off. And it, it was originally an idea that I thought, well, later maybe I shouldn't, maybe people will misuse this and they'll send them to people and hurt them. And then I thought about making it an app so that people can at least write it out, get it out, and then have like some kind of retreat, and all those postcards that they've written will be printed, and here you go, you can burn that now. And,
oh,
and
let's, wow, that dude, was like, that's a great idea, man.
And then you can transform yourself after transcending all this stuff.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. Yeah, I had written a song called Dear God that was all about, like, it was letters to God talking about when I was going through the abuse with my father and with, you know, the way my life was going in the psych ward. I had written letters to God and just asking him to deliver me from that situation and make my life worth something. And, you know, that was one of the songs that I had in my previous band as well. And that was a big part of what we did then. So you were asking about the Christian aspect of what we do and things like that. And like I said, there are some songs that have that and some songs that don't, but
it's all good. It's all good. It's really who you are and what you bring to the stage. And that's why I don't want to necessarily label you as, like, you know, Christian rocker, because you know, there are those artists and they're amazing at what they do. You know, is it Toby? It doesn't matter.
Toby Mac, are you talking about?
I love Toby Mac. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I really like Toby Mac stuff. Like I said, I was raised in church and I did worship team and things like that and was involved in a lot of like music stuff in church. But outside of that, my goal has always been to be reaching, hurting kids and things, and they're not going to respond to, you know, hallelujah, praise God stuff. So like I said, a lot of the stuff that I write, I'm a rocker at heart, man. I was like a rebel back in the day. So, you know, all my influences back then were rock people or rap people. Eminem was a huge influence on me as well. And so, you know, I got an eclectic mix. Like I was in
Talk about that thing that you were doing, because you were finding your identity. And
It was so crazy. Well, on this Transcend album, I actually did a really cool kind of a dubstep cover of Eminem's Lose Yourself, because when I was 17, man, I went the extra mile with the Eminem. Like, it was crazy. I had the bleach blonde hair. I wore the baggy pants, and I pretty much wanted to be Slim Shady for, you know, all of my like junior high to high school life, which probably explain some of my female issues, you know, like they're like, can you unbleach the hair, you know, and do all, you know, be rabbit, you know. But yeah, man, that was part of my life. So I love to go and give that cover live, because it's not just a throwaway, like let's fill time with this cover. It's something that I can tell about how I like wanted to be Slim Shady and was always getting in trouble in class and, you know, would like prank the principals and, you know, crowd surf at pep assemblies in the middle of places and then flip the crowd off and, you know, run to the office and get detention. So it was
Holy
always
crap.
Yeah. You know, I was a little bit of a rebel back then, you know, but, this devil changed his ways, even though many don't.
Yeah.
But yeah. So you got to check out, if you get that album, check out the Lose Yourself cover.
I really did. And I do love that song. It's a really good one. Yeah, it's a very good one. Guys, you have to listen to his album Transcend. The next song that I want to introduce to everybody is Showdown. Wow. So yeah. Can you just give us a little intro on this song?
All right. This was probably the first song that we had recorded for this album. And I went into it with the mindset of, okay, let's make a pop song that rock people will not hate. And so it's a really good anthemic song. I hope you guys dig it and you'll get the meaning after.
Yeah, we'll be right back, guys.
Who wants to step up tonight and give me reason to fight? 'Cause I won't be taken down. It's my time to rise. So you can stack the odds against me and claim the battle's yours. But prepare for me to strike back. I'll fight back and win this war. I'll win this war. It's about to go down. Welcome to the showdown. One by one, they're stepping up. 'Cause it's begun, get ready to throw down. You're acting tough, but I'll call your bluff. Your number's up, 'cause this is the showdown. Looking through my eyes, fire burns inside. I'm feeling so alive. Always gonna do, never gonna die. When it's all on the line, you can't take my pride. You should run and hide, 'cause I was born to fight. Welcome to the showdown. If you can't handle the heat, then step away from the fire. 'Cause I burn with strength to fight, and I'm a warrior inside. So you can stack the odds against me and claim the battle's yours. But prepare for me to fight back. I'll strike back and win this war. I'll win this war. About to go down. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Welcome to the showdown. One by one, they're stepping up. 'Cause it's begun, get ready to throw down. You're acting tough, but I'll call your bluff. Your number's up, 'cause this is the showdown.
Enjoyed that as much as I did. Showdown is such a killer song.
Thank you so much, man.
God, yes. And I really want people to have the lyrics. Is there a way that there did you put them in, like, I know you're on YouTube with your music.
Yeah.
Are the lyrics in the description?
I had sent you the lyrics last night, so you should have.
I want for everybody else because when we understand, like when we can really hear them, because as a musician, you're like, yeah. Oh, of course it's all clear. But for the rest of us, some of us are picking up the beat. Some of us are picking up, you know, we don't necessarily, I want people to know what you're saying because it's so good.
Yeah.
Your rhyme, your riff, everything that you're talking about is so valuable.
Oh, thank you so much, man. Yeah. Like I said, If I could sum up my life, it's a showdown against my own limitations and disabilities and people who have put obstacles in my way. And, you know, really that's what that song was about. I kicked it off because as you, I don't know if I told this story, but when I was in my old band before, the one that you went to go see, those guys had split off from me and started their own project and left me kind of in the trenches, kind of, you know, trying to figure out my new musical direction and, you know, struggling to just get back out there and things. So when I set up to write that song, it was directed somewhat at those guys. But then, like I said, it triggered another thought of like, you know what? My life is more than just overcoming this. Like, I've overcome so much. So what became, what started off as a, I want to get them song turned into, okay, I'm overcoming it all. I'm overcoming my disabilities. And this is my showdown against everything I've been through in my life. And that's kind of what I hope people, you know, can hear in the song is that passion. So
it's so good. I'm like debating on whether to read any of it because it's so good. Because it's just like, don't mess with me kind of song, you know? I'm stammering again.
I was in that movie, the class with the movies and things like that. So I think there's a lot of themes in TV and film about like that emerging champion. There's always that underdog story that becomes the champion. And so that was in part what I was thinking about as well when I wrote that. And so it's just like this mishmash of everything in my life as it relates to TV themes and things. Yeah.
It is so powerful. Please, guys, check out Showdown. I've got to throw this line out there because, Matt, from what you've come from, mm-hmm. and how you've overcome so much, and for you to be beaming in front of me and so happy and have overcome, like I said, one more time, so much in, you know, in the music industry, you're always going to be faced with people. But for you to be so strong, and this lyric that, always going to do, never going to die, when it's all on the line, you can't take my pride, you know, you should run and hide. 'Cause I was born to fight. Welcome to the showdown.
Oh man. Thank you so much. Yeah. It's so funny because I had a song in my old project. It was called Do or Die. And it was basically about overcoming addiction, not any addiction that I had per se, but, it was just like people that I had known. And, the title of the song was Do or Die. And it was about this guy, like overcoming his addiction. So that was a shout back to my old band project, Do or Die. Always going to do, never going to die when it's all on the line. Like, and so, yeah, like that's my whole life. Just fighting and trying to figure out how to continue doing what we do, man.
Well, hopefully real soon, right around the corner, the crowd surfing will be because, you know, women have thrown underwear at you or something and you're just, I'll just dive and get one.
Oh man. Well, we haven't had any of that yet, but, I don't know, man.
I love your style.
Now you got me blushing here.
It looks good on you. It does, you know, at least you are, at least it's got, you know, you've got the experience to crowd surf and you know, you're radical and the kids that you're going to go speak to the, all that you've been through, it's so relatable and identifiable, and you're such an inspiration on the other side.
So are you, man. Like, I've heard a lot of your story, so I appreciate you having me on and stuff. And I just want to ask, like, when you did see me, what was some of the things that stuck out to you live that kind of helped us foster this friendship? I mean, as far as, like, I know you liked the show and whatnot, but, like, just let me, like, I just kind of...
Meeting you, like running into you in the hallway, like I did, there was an instant recognition of something, and I didn't know what it was. I just instantly liked you, and that happens once in a while in life. And the good thing is that it never, you know, it didn't prove out wrong. It only proved out like you're really as amazing as a person can be.
Oh, I appreciate it.
And it's true. And you were so warm and just a, you know, regular, I did not realize that, you know, 2 minutes later, you're like, I got to go. And you're like, the mic and you're just like freaking atomic bomb on the stage with this.
Man.
Voice.
Yeah. I just pace around the green room because I was getting nervous. You know, you get that pre-show jitters and everything. So I'm trying to like avoid people in a way, but like, I'm glad I bumped into you. It's not that I like to avoid people. It's just that like, I can't get usually wrapped up in so much conversation because my mind is just like it's just like entertainment mode, you know, when I get up there and I'm like, oh, please, like, I just need to like jog around the building a few times. But when I saw you, man, I didn't expect it. I was coming around from the green room and bumped into you, and you're like, I've heard of you or something. I'm like, dude, you have, man. I didn't know anybody had heard of me. So you were our first, man. So I'm glad you enjoyed that show.
Well, fun. You didn't let on that you were ready to, you know, implode or explode, and taking a picture with a fan, you know, it was a really special moment. And I have that picture, and I am excited that I have it. I'm going to put it out there too, because and you continue to be such an impressive performer, and there's such a difference when some really edgy, like, I don't even understand the term pop that you use. Like, at the moment, don't explain it. But at the moment, I don't get that. What I get from you is edgy and creative and industrial grind and danceable and a beat, you know, so the difference is, lots of bands can say that, but they can be repelling as opposed to compelling.
Right. Yeah,
that's exactly the difference about you, is that you're up there just like raging and just hella cool about it in this voice that it's magical. Your voice on microphone is magic.
Oh, thanks, man. I did some internships for radio and stuff like that. So,
It really is. And you don't repel people because of who you are. You're not just up there like, I'm so pissed off. Rah, rah, rah. That's not you.
Yeah, no, not at all, man.
No, like, but if you look in the lyrics, and God knows in your story, you would have every reason to have that kind of edge, but you don't.
And that's
what I love about you.
I don't know what kind of contributed to that. Like, you know, I guess there's some elements of anger in my music, but I try not to live there. You know, it's like I also have had to develop a sense of humor to get over it and things like that, and just, you know, I was always a social person. I never really was that guy that was like out to do anything crazy. I've gotten myself into trouble trying to be Slim Shady a few times, but like in the thick of things, I really wasn't like a bad kid, you know?
So let me ask you something. I'm sorry. Did I interrupt? Go ahead.
No, you're good,
okay,
man.
Okay. I'm really curious, Matt, as much as you were like a cut up and stuff, were you also bullied? Were you teased? Did you have, or did you just make yourself fit in? You were that guy.
I think there was some of both of that, you know. It's like I was bullied and teased and things like that, but I always had like the sense of humor to kind of acclimate into my situation, you know what I'm saying? I could make the bully end up liking me in certain situations after, you know, a while. And that always like was like my main defense, and that was one thing that people always said about me that also had disabilities that I had met throughout my life, is like, man, I wish I would have had that sense of humor to deflect some of the things coming my way. Cause I mean, being made fun of and, you know, being bullied can just destroy other kids. But luckily somehow I learned how to, develop a sense of humor. I mean, it goes back to when I was like, I mean, how old was I? I had to go to school and I had to wear an eye patch and things like that. My mom would dress me like really awful. And, you know, I'd have the suspenders and the, you know, Big Bird sweater and all that stuff. So like, you know, I wasn't exactly suave. I was very Napoleon Dynamite when I was growing up.
Oh my goodness.
That sense of humor.
So that's a perfect segue into the next song, which is Until the Fat Lady Sings. It's a parody. And, I absolutely cracked up out loud, wanted to call you while I was driving to say, holy crap, dude, what a sense of humor you have.
Yeah. Yeah. That song wasn't even supposed to be on the album. It was just one of those songs that, I wrote, and instead of doing a dark song that I am known for kind of maybe doing, I flipped it and did a comedy song. Cause that's a whole different section of my life. And it's the parody it's a hidden track on the album. You can check out.
Okay. And since you had mentioned suspenders, as I introduced this song, I'm going to read verse 2, because I don't know how much we're going to get on the show, but I want people to hear this part, which was, I was told that I've never been a legit winner while I was on a date rocking suspenders with my fidget spinner. That shit cracked me up, yo. We went to dinner. I told her about my interest in her. She rolled her eyes, so I replied, I've been with Kendall Jenner. That's just what?
Oh, man. I hope Kendall listens to this podcast. I really do. I hope, Kendall, this will reach you. If you're listening, Kendall, we can work it out.
And with that, we're going to tune in to Until the Fat Lady Sings. We'll be right back.
All right.
Oh, come here, shorty. Here, let me talk to you for a minute. No, seriously. Let me talk to you for a minute. Oh, hold on. I was told that I'll always be the odd man out. When I was born, they say God even had his doubts. And nowadays I look for change, but they're still laughing about how hopey 43 living at my parents' house. But I don't ever let them get me down, cause I know the beat of my drum has a different sound. And my life is like a slow dance without a shot at romance. But I'll throw the after party as they tell me I got no chance. But it ain't over till the fat lady sings. And I ain't ever gonna give up my dream, cause you're looking at the next big thing. And it ain't over till the fat lady sings. Until 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 the fat lady sings. Oh, girl, you might be a parking ticket, cause you got fine written all over you. I was told that I'll never be a legit winner, while on a date rocking suspenders with my fidget spinner. We went to dinner, I told her about my interest in her. She rolled her eyes, so I replied, I've been with Kendall Jenner. That line didn't work, but I ain't hurt, cause I'm still in my zone. For now she calls us friends, but hey, you never know. She plays that hard to get, she plays it like a pro. And when I drop by, she's hardly ever home. But it ain't over till the fat lady sings. And I ain't ever gonna give up my dream, cause you're looking at the next big thing. And it ain't over till the fat lady sings. Until 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 the fat lady sings. Oh, does your daddy work at Starbucks? Cause I like you a latte. I was told not to waste my time on what ifs. The happy endings only happen in the movie scripts. And in the end, the nerd never ever gets the girl. And superheroes don't exist, so they can't save the world. But every marathon starts with a single step. So we should all live for the moment as we move ahead. And every note sung starts with a single breath. So get your lady's microphone, cause she ain't singing yet. But it ain't over till the fat lady sings. And I ain't ever gonna give up my dream, cause you're looking at the next big thing. And it ain't over till the fat lady sings. Until 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 the fat lady sings.
Oh, Jenny, you just have no idea what I'm going through right now. He has literally asked me out a bajillion, zillion, pillion times. And I've said no. And he's always in my Insta feed sending me little pics to him with his shirt off, little pathetic toothpick that he is. I would rather die than to date somebody like that. I am not giving that a chance. Wait, someone's calling me. Hello? No! Oh my God!
Okay, guys, like, how crazy is this song, right? This just shows you the diversity of the amazing Matt Sasano.
Thank you, man. So, yeah, a little bit of comedy in there, man. Like I said, it wasn't supposed to be on the album. The guy that kind of runs, I'm signed to a small record label called Raven Faith Records. Shout out to Raven Faith Records. He was listening through the catalog of songs and he's just like, dude, you've got to put Fat Lady Sings on this, or, you know, I'm not going to put this thing out, you know? So, it was just like one of those things.
Wow, that's pretty insistent.
yeah, no. It's so, I don't know. Whenever somebody buys the album, I expect them, they're like, flip over my other songs, and they do. But then Fat Lady comes up. They're like, dude, you get. So we're going to be implementing that also into the live show. And I've got a skit live where it's going to be funny. If you come to a show, there'll be a phone call and somebody will break up with me. It'll seem like over the loudspeaker, somebody gets a call. I get a call and somebody breaks up with me, and then the song starts, you know?
So I love performance art.
Little bit that I'm working on for that particular song. And I'm going to have thick Harry Potter glasses and like a propeller hat, you know,
we'll
rock it out, man.
Nice.
But yeah,
my life with the Thrill Kill Cult, they did this. They did a lot of performance, and so does Meat Beat Manifesto and Consolidate. This is back in the industrial era, you know, like industrial music. And they would act out. There was performance on top of their music, on top, you know, it was amazing what they did. Every song was performance art.
That's the big part of what we do. I always prioritize like the live show, always making a connection with your crowd and like making that something to remember. Like, I don't want to give too much away about my show, but my show will start with Showdown, and I come out in like a boxer's robe, and I'm just throwing punches, and I've got like the M3 on the back of the boxer's robe. And so yeah, it's going to be every bit as theatrical as it is, you know, you go to a concert, people just play songs, but this is going to be a little bit more theatrical than just getting on stage and playing the songs.
I'm going to hit you up for a ticket. I want to come.
You better be there, man.
So your band is called M3.
Yeah, that's kind of an acronym or like a secondary name. I go by my own name, Matt Sassano. But M3 is just kind of a secondary name because Matt the third. I'm the third in my family. My grandpa, my dad was Matt. And I, third time's the charm, baby. I'm the best one. So
awesome.
I wanted to just put M3 out there. And my mom had this idea for the logo. She's the one that kind of conceptualized it. It's kind of a weird thing, but she's like, I woke up and I saw this logo in a dream. And so sometime I'll have to get her back on, explain something like that. But yeah, she saw the logo in a dream, and
nice.
I was like, all right, draw it out. So she took about a week to try and sketch out what she had saw in this dream. And that became the logo, M3.
You need to tweet out that that segment with Kendall Jenner, and get some footage from your show. Get some footage, visual footage from your show, and I'll help you. I'll help you with start making a marketing campaign. Boom.
To try and to wait for what? So get a clip of it and then do what?
Yeah. I mean, what? Okay. So two things. You've got to get some visuals from your show. Okay. Some, you know, video of your show.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. And then the other part is I'm looking at the line with Kendall Jenner and this, and just tweet the hell out of it. Just start raising some, making some waves, you know?
All right.
Okay. Like,
yeah,
really,
man.
Get yourself some attention, because you deserve it. And this thing with Bubba Sparks, who knows what else is next? I believe you're fulfilling your destiny. And I believe you were back then when you were going through a lot of crap and you made it through. And now you can turn around, you can help kids so that they will have a few less years of tears, perhaps. And that's always been my goal too.
Yeah, man, I really appreciate what you do, man. And it's great to be able to link up with you, you know, like even just after hearing a lot of your story, I was listening to the podcast and stuff and got to hear a little bit about your story. So it's so great to know you and be, you know, overcomers together. Yes.
Yeah. Same, man, brother, man. So what is the best way for people to check out your music, Matt?
All right. I've got an album on Spotify they can check out, Matt Sassano Transcend. And I am a social media junkie. So I am on Instagram and Facebook at Matt Sassano Music. And if you drop me a message, I'll definitely get back with you. So
excellent.
And I also have an email list. I'm going to be compiling an email list. You can reach me there at transparentsoulmatt@gmail.com.
Yeah, we're going to work on that. We're going to do like M3 Matt. We're going to figure it. We're going
to. Right. Try to change it up. Like, that's what I've been trying to do and things. So
yeah.
Thank
you.
Right now I've got a little confusion on there, but Instagram and Facebook me, and that'll be great.
And I will put that all that information in the show notes eventually. I know from doing interviews that you're going to do something short and sweet, and people are going to be able to find you real quick. And I love that you're accessible through Instagram, especially. You're very responsive on Facebook too, and the people are just going to love this show and the clips that come from it, and this interview. Whatever we can do with this, we will, because your soul is so beautiful, and that is what shines through everything that you do. Thank you for being so freaking awesome and for having the passion that you do.
Thank you so much, Alexis.
Yeah, it has been an absolute
All right, pleasure. Man.
It's been such a pleasure, and you rocked your very first interview ever. Hoo hoo. Yeah. You did it. And with that, guys, I'm going to say this is the close of another episode of Bold Movers and Shakers, where Matt Sassano is really raising the bar, showing them how it's done, and doing it with such style and grace and flair. Like, wait till you hear his music. You're going to be so glad. It's so good. Thank you, Matt.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Hang on, guys. We'll see you next time on Bold Movers.